what's going on, guys? All of you out there that listen to this podcast at least once, my sidekick is actually again in a building with me.
I am. I'm in the same.
Yes.
Same room for the first time.
Well, second time in a long time. First time. How do you fucking say it? Hey, this is my son, Kyle. I am the father, Manuel. We should all know this by now, but I'm going to keep saying it because there's probably somebody out there that may or may not know. We got about 4 or 5 energy drinks because something has happened. Today is December 27th. It is 7:30 p.m. out here on the West Coast. And about an hour or so ago, all over the social medias and all over the television, you know, your NBA TVs, all that, the Sacramento Kings did a thing, again, that I would characterize as unbelievably stupid and short-sighted and immature and all that. Mike Brown, the head coach with a 54% winning percentage, 102 wins, 88 losses, is no longer the Kings' head coach.
Yeah. That's insane. That's insane.
It is. I don't have. I had a lot of words in the car when it broke because I fucking lost my shit.
And yeah, we ranted about it for 30 minutes or so until we decided to just put it on.
Yeah, I don't know if we can bring the magic back, but...
Oh, we can.
My God, can this franchise at least... I mean, the owner has had 12 head coaches since he bought the team.
Yeah. And did you see what Michael Malone said? About how we will get no to class. And...
We will get to Mike Malone.
Okay,
but we're gonna do
up the article too.
Oh, we are gonna do a how did we get here type of deal.
Ah, okay.
So Mike Brown gets hired. He takes a 30 win Luke Walton dumpster fire and turns it into a 48 win team. Coach of the year. Lots of player honors. Clutch player of the year in De'Aaron Fox. Injury replacement, all-star De'Aaron Fox, and Sabonis gets an all-star nod. They get some second and third team honors. The second year, and they lose in the first round to the Warriors in 7 games. One of the more exciting series in recent memory because the NBA has been on a downturn due to the unbelievable amount of three-point shooting. And year two was 46 wins, so same roster, same talent, 2 less wins, and they get into the play-in tournament, which everybody says is not the fucking playoffs or not the postseason. I say bullshit. If you're playing extra games after you play game 82, it's the postseason. There's no other way to describe it. So they lose in the second round of the play-in tournament, and in 1 year left on Mike Brown's 3-year deal, they work out an extension for 3 years at $30 million, an additional 3-year deal. So he's covered until 2028, I believe. 6 months later, we have a 5-game losing streak, and Mike Brown is dismissed as the head coach while on a trip to the airport to jump on the plane for the game against L.A. He completed the practice, the press briefings, all that shit. And then he got a phone call probably from Vivek saying, don't bother getting on the plane. And that is the scenario that led to the media firestorm that proceeded over the next hour and a half at this point. So how did we get here, Kyle? How did we fucking get here?
Oh, well. I actually have, so I pulled up De'Aaron Fox because the vast majority of the problems that have been happening within the team is due to De'Aaron Fox and his issues with the coaching staff and how the teams ran, talking about how it's a poorly ran roster, a poorly built roster.
Now, because we don't want to be incorrect in our quotes, we are going to play the quotes. So De'Aaron Fox and this is another issue I have in sports, especially in the NBA, is everybody is a buddy. In the off season and during the season, they all hug each other and whatever. There's no hatred anymore. So the fact that he went on Draymond Green's podcast speaks volumes, because this is the same guy that stepped on the chest and pounced on a teammate of De'Aaron Fox's, and he decides to go on his podcast. If that had ever happened as a player, I would never even be in the same universe as Draymond Green over that. But here is what he said in regards to the extension that he did not sign in the offseason.
What was the motivation for you to pass on the extension?
For me, man, it has all to do with the team, the organization. Where are we going? I want to make sure that we're in a position to try to win in the future, because that's ultimately what I want to do. Like, I feel like I'm continuing to get better as a player every year. But for me, it's, are we looking like we're continuing to get better year after year? And are we going to be able to compete at a high level? Totally. And that's all mine is. Like, if we can show that this year, like, you know, you sign the extension now. If not, like, I still have another year, but that's where my mindset is. I love the city. Like, I love being here. I've raised my family here. I would love to be here and retire here. I mean, how many people can say they played in one organization for their whole career? Like, I want to be a part of that select few people. But at the end of the day, I also want to win.
All right. Well, that another piece of why we need to do these podcasts in the same room as each other is we had a little bit of awkward silence there.
We had a technical snafu at the end of playing that clip, and don't worry, we will sort of edit that out.
Yes. I cannot. So for everybody's, I'm sure I've covered this before, but I can't see on the other side of my dad here, so I don't know if he's just like trying to read or see what's going on his screen.
No,
so I'm hoping
for
the best here.
No, what happened is the computer went blank, and I was unable to retrieve the next set, and I was hoping for a professional jump in there.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry. There's not much I could say when we're building it off of evidence here, so
yes.
I don't want to start shitting on him without the evidence.
You may now shit on him after what he just said.
Did he say something else?
Oh, there's more. But,
oh, good.
Okay, so De'Aaron Fox essentially says because he didn't sign the extension, it was a 3 or 4 year deal, a couple $100 million. He said he didn't sign the extension because he wanted to make sure the team was in a winning direction before he committed another 3 or 4 seasons. What he is not telling you is the ultimate reason for not signing the extension was because he can triple that amount if he makes all NBA or certain tiers and he plays a certain amount of games. So what he is doing is betting on himself to increase his contract value. This whole nonsense about waiting for a winning product is bullshit because he just spent 2 years winning. So there's no reason, and this was filmed right before the losing streak. So there's no reason for him to say that was his motivation when you have a winning product.
Yeah.
You know, and unless he is hearing some shit in the organization where he's like, I don't know, man, are these guys really going down the path I think we should go? Then it makes sense. Of course, we're just spitballing, speculating, however you want to say it. But the next clip from the same podcast is where he throws the entire organization under the bus, from the GM to the coach to the ownership. And this is how, that's exactly how I read that. And I don't know, maybe you might feel the same way.
I'll tell you what I'm surprised at. I'm surprised the thing that y'all have struggled with as a team is defense, because Mike Brown with defense, like, that's what he do. Like, he guru. And so I know it'd be driving him crazy. So you got a challenge. You got it's on y'all as players, because Mike Brown, I know he loses his hair.
He lost whatever hair he had left, wherever it is. Obviously, I think personnel is a thing. Like, we're one of those smaller teams. Obviously, mm-hmm. we have a legit for shot sure. blocker. So, like, you're fighting against kind of construction. Like, you can't – obviously, you're only as good as your personnel a lot of the time. So, for us, you know, we throw out different things and different looks, try to, you know, muck the game up, try to change the way that people see us. You know, I might guard somebody, then Keegan might guard somebody, then Keon might guard somebody. I think he's making do with what, you know, he's got. And we've been better defensively this year. I think we were like 11 for a while, and then we had a bad stretch, dropped to like 20. I think we're hovering around like 14, 15 right now. But obviously, he one day he comes up to me, he's like, hands me a paper. I'm like, what the fuck is this? And it showed the past 20 champions what they ranked, what they were rated in defense during the regular season, what they were rated in defense in the playoffs. And I think the worst was like the 0-2 Lakers that were like 20th, I think, during the season. But then they were number one defensive team in the playoffs. But this is after they already won a championship, so they knew what it was like. So they just, the regular season, then the playoffs, they could flip that switch. And he's like, that's the only team that wasn't in the top 10 that won a championship that year. So,
yeah,
he's trying to make it work. And he's, as you know, me as the leader and the head of the snake, and a lot of times I'm the guy picking up or the point of attack defender. He's like, this is what we have to get to if we want to win. Our offense can be as good as it can be, but until we decide, until we go out there consistently, can guard somebody, we're not gonna win.
I'm not too sure that he like really threw people under the bus.
You didn't take it that way?
Not really. I mean, either that or he like really hid his insults fairly well with being like, oh, he's doing what he can with what he's got. Which I think that alone is an insult, because
yeah. And then you say that this team, we can only do with what we can do. We're kind of constructed a certain way. So that's basically saying that the GM is not giving them a competitive product to play with.
I feel like that can kind of go both ways. Each team is constructed a certain way. I think he's just not agreeing with how they're constructed, which is crazy because...
Yes, but as a star player, is this something you make public?
No.
No.
No. That no. I'm 100% in agree. I feel like no player in any sport should air out stuff about the organization like that. I'm not saying that you have to say that they're the best thing in the planet, but not speak about those things.
Right. So now he has thrown, in my opinion, you have yours, but I feel like he takes a shot at the organization saying, I won't sign an extension until we have a winning plan. Then he takes another shot at the organization by saying that we are constructed the way we're constructed. We have to sit here and do it with what we got. Mike Brown is trying, but you know, we're not the deepest team. We don't have a shot blocker. We don't have this. There's his wish list. So shortly following, right after this podcast drops, they have, I think, one game where they lost the Nugget game. And then the following day after this podcast drops, here's Mike Brown's response to what De'Aaron Fox said.
You mentioned how trying to clean that up and how a lot of it will fall on you and having to find ways to do it beyond film and walkthroughs. Is there added emphasis when you're going through practice now when you have moments like that?
Yeah, the reality of it is it starts with me, it ends with me, but Fox has to step up. He's a great player on the verge of being a superstar. And there are those guys, and they're the superstars that win at a high level. And part of his responsibility, starting with him, now it doesn't excuse Domas, that doesn't excuse DeMar, that doesn't excuse Malik, and even Keegan at a young age, doesn't excuse everybody. But you have a lot of responsibility if you're that guy, and he's that guy. And he can't be a part of not being locked in, and he for damn sure can't be a part of letting it go if we're not as a team. And so the pressure is on me, and the pressure is on him to go get it done.
Yeah, I 100% agree. You can't sit there and
talk like that and then do that.
Yeah, you can't shit on an organization to most people's, you know, viewpoints, and not expect your head coach to just be like, oh yeah, he's right. Especially when leading up to that point and leading up to his interview during the practice, like De'Aaron Fox wasn't doing the greatest, and he probably wasn't you know, being the best example that he could have been, like he has been in past couple years. So
I have watched him for 8 years, almost 82 games a year, even the two winning seasons, and even the 39 win season. De'Aaron Fox is play when you feel like it kind of guy. He only shows up in the when it's the fourth quarter. So right after he said step up type thing, the following game, he doesn't take a shot until the 3 minute mark of the first quarter. He goes nearly 8 minutes and change before his first attempt at a basket. And he's the star, the head of the snake, the defense, all this bullshit. And he does not even engage himself until the first quarter is almost over.
Yeah.
He doesn't step up his aggression or his game until we get to the fourth quarter. That's when he starts to hit most of his shots. So the second and third quarter, he's a non-factor. He doesn't do anything most of the first quarter. And you're looking at this and you're going, this is the guy? This is the franchise right here? And then he goes and talks all that shit? Like, I don't fault Brown for taking a shot.
Yeah,
I really don't.
I don't either. And that's the other thing is, like, you're taking it, you're taking these shots and stuff like that from a player who really doesn't have, like, we talked about it in the car, that he doesn't have a lot to show from.
No.
You know, and I had to look it up to make sure, right? He finished 11th in MVP voting in the 2022-2023 season. Right?
Wasn't even a top 10.
No, not a top 10. And that was his all-star. That was his all-star game where he was a filler for an injury. And
yep.
Then he was all NBA that year.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, he finished first for Clutch Player of the Year.
Yeah, he won
that
trophy.
Yeah, so he did win that.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
The following year, he finished 12th for Clutch Player of the Year.
Yep.
And was not in the conversation for absolutely anything.
Nope.
Until the 2022-2023 season, which was his best season statistically ever.
And this year, he is no better than last year.
Nope.
He's still 25 points a game.
And he's never been in the MVP conversation. Never received an actual All-Star because he was a filler for injury, mm-hmm. as you told me. And he was an all-NBA. And so it's like you're putting a guy's job in jeopardy. And you have, it's not like, I dare I say it, like you don't, it's not like you have LeBron status where you have all these rings, you have all these trophies. I know we don't like talking about LeBron because even he can be a little bit of a priss, but at least he has the trophy case for it. You know?
I guess that's a whole.
Oh, I know. But what I'm saying is, like, a lot of these guys, and you see it in other sports, they have this voice, and a lot of them, they have something to back it up. He
doesn't.
Yeah, he doesn't.
He
and
doesn't.
Just like you said, he plays when he feels like it, and that's why he doesn't. That's why he's Clutch Player of the Year, which I don't know why that's an award. You know,
the NBA is inventing shit because nobody's watching.
I know. You would think that it would just be the basic, like, defensive, offensive.
Exactly. But no.
Maybe even rookie.
No, they invented an award.
Yeah.
Which I don't even understand.
Which I don't even know what. Keep in mind, I'm saying Clutch Player of the Year so lightly because I have no idea what goes into it. I hardly knew that was even a trophy.
If it is 10 points or less at the 4 minute mark, that's when they track it. They start tracking it.
Oh, so he has like a lot of game winners.
So
okay.
No, he just scores a lot of points in that time frame.
Yeah,
which I think is just retarded because who gives a fuck about that shit? But what ended up happening in that same time frame is De'Aaron Fox's agent, Rich Paul, has a meeting with Monty McNair and Wes Wilcox to discuss the point guard's future, and then, And then there's this weird meeting that they have, between Brown and Fox the day before the firing. But here is the last loss against the Detroit Pistons, and this is what Mike Brown says here, and it's basically a direct attack on the star player.
We are tough loss that at worst should have gone into overtime at worst. Because there shouldn't have been a closeout to any. There shouldn't have been a closeout to any 3-point shooter. We are.
I don't understand why there's so many like players that don't that just don't do what they're told. And it really sounds like, based off of that reaction, either the guy wasn't thinking or he wasn't listening to his coach's instructions.
What he is talking about there is the last play of his last coach game as a king in the Kings, as a Kings head coach. Is De'Aaron Fox is a star player. He's on that corner. I believe it was Ivy. I'm not a Pistons guy, but I think Ivy was one of the was the shooter. So he's the only guy sagging off of an open shooter. Everybody else is bodied up and trying to deny the ball because 3 points, it makes it an overtime game. So the guy throws to the open man because nobody's in front of him. De'Aaron Fox decides to run at him, jump really high. The guy ball fakes him, and he comes down on the dude's shoulders, and the guy just throws the ball up. That's a foul, no matter how you slice it. We can talk about how it was a shooting motion, was natural or unnatural. The point is, even if he fouled him, he's still going to the line because they were over the limit to regardless. But he got the shot up, so it makes it a 3 point, three free throws if he missed. He ended up making the circus shot, which then he went to the line, shot the N1, and then Fox heaves a 52-footer, and nothing, and that's it. They lose. And in that clip alone, he is giving Fox another missile or another punch to the head, however you say it, by, like, we should not even have had a closeout. There should not even have been any of that shit. And there's another part during that presser where he's like, we told our guys, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, prepare for this. And he does a closeout anyway. So it's like, at what point are you holding players to a certain, like, when does the ownership hold players accountable for anything?
Yeah.
The NBA is the most baffling league of all time. The player whines like a bitch, he gets his coach fired, you know, or the organization gets a new GM. It's like, where is the value in that? You're never going to be a sustained organization. You're never going to win games. You're never going to be in the conversation. You had 12 head coaches your entire time as an owner, not one of them lasting more than 3 years. You fire them consistently when your players get disgruntled or if social media gets a little uproar, which is amazing to me. Like, it is the most confusing fucking thing I've ever seen in sports, and it happens to be a team that I'm a fan of. And at some point, even your diehards are going to stop watching. You know what I mean? It's like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah, that's... And the big issue that I don't understand is there's so many coaches throughout, like, sports history, right, that if you don't buy into the program, you're gone. Like,
yeah.
Player. If the coach puts down, you know, the playbook or whatever it may be, and the player's like, I don't agree with that, or they gripe and moan, or they start causing problems with the media, they're gone. You know, you can request a trade, you get cut, whatever it may be. You see that with so many successful teams.
Mm-hmm.
The GM, the ownership, they don't get involved or they're overstepped because they trust their head coach. You see that with the Patriots and Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
You know, you saw that with Mike Tomlin and Steelers. You saw that Alabama and Nick Saban. Right,
yep.
You see that with the Spurs, because the Spurs has been doing it for over 20 years now.
Popovich and that GM have not changed.
Exactly. And they're one of, all of those guys that we named off are guys that, like, if you don't buy in, you're gone.
And,
you
know, and these organizations have a trophy case.
Yes. And they always, and you said it in the car, they, like, the main goal is to just be in the conversation every year. Winning a ring is
one in
rare.
A million shot. Yeah. Everything has to go right.
But you at least want to be, you want to be a team for the fans that will always be in the postseason, ideally. And you want to be a team that is a threat all the time. You know, and so, like, for instance, the Steelers, they don't always do great, but they're always a winning team at the end of the season. They're always in the wild card conversation.
Yeah.
Maybe they go a little bit further. And that's with a head coach who cut guys like, you know, Juju Smith-Schuster, who got rid of Le'Veon Bell, who got rid of Antonio Brown, no matter what the media and stuff was disagreeing about or saying. And
moved off of Kenny Pickett in a minute.
Moved away from Kenny Pickett, got two similar QBs, and they're still winning games with those two guys.
They're 10-5.
Yeah.
Or 6.
And and you've seen Saban do it before. You've seen Belichick do it before. I just don't understand why the ownership for Sacramento doesn't buy into like what was Brown's goal, and maybe choose him over De'Aaron Fox. Sorry, I don't know why I was thinking DeAndre. But it's just like these guys are creating problems. He has nothing to show for it, and now the Kings have nothing to show for it. Yeah. Now what are you going to do? Are you going to get rid of De'Aaron Fox? Because people are calling for his head all of a sudden.
Well, honestly, if Rich Paul, if an agent, in this case, it's Rich Paul. If an agent of any type showed up in my front office telling me how to do my job or we need a plan, his player is on the bus.
Oh, yeah. Because you know that the agent's speaking on behalf of Fox. Yeah. So really, that's Fox not wanting to face.
Yeah, he's not interested in the organization at all.
Yeah, he doesn't want to show face. He's clearly just showing that he's not committed to what's going on. And he's asking for another coach's head.
Yeah.
You know, because he's, and this isn't the first time. You mentioned that he did it with, there was a player.
With Dave Yeager, he got disgruntled for a little bit. Yeah. And Yeager ended up not returning on an extension.
Yeah. And it's like this guy has been around for 8 years. And the more he complains, the more the organization gives into him. Obviously, the media is also pressuring him, which I don't understand what's with basketball and listening to the media about everything. But, and that's all throughout basketball. That's not just like I've seen it happen with the 76ers too. It's insane.
It's moronic shit.
Yeah.
Like this should not even be happening. You should not open your phone and go, what are the 0.0001% think of me today?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to win games.
We're talking about average people like you and I going on social media saying that this guy needs to be fired, and an owner of an actual team, the main guy, is just like, yeah, that guy's right. Maybe we should fire him.
Dude, I've been on so many times. I've read so many dummies. And I always sit there and I say, and I've had a few responses, but I sit there and I say the same thing. This is not a coaching issue. This is a player's issue.
Yeah.
This is not a GM's issue. This is a player issue.
Yeah. And in basketball, more than pretty much any other sport, it's not like football where there's somebody in the box seeing more than what the other players are seeing on the field. So in basketball, like these plays are being called, but you have the ability to control the game way more than coaches do.
Exactly.
And for you, the star player who calls yourself the head of the snake and the head of the attack and defensive operations. Yeah,
the fucking guy. Yeah.
Came from your mouth and you're putting the blame on somebody else. And then when you're questioned about the foul that you made that made you lose against Detroit, you're just like, no one will be happy, and you walk away.
Yeah.
Like you don't take the ownership.
Which then gives that clip I just played where Mike Brown is like, there was no reason for a closeout. There was no reason to foul him. There was no reason. Let me play Damian Barley, another local news guy. He goes on a fucking fit. He loses his lunch money. He was so pissed at the way the Pistons game ended and the way the press conference went.
De'Aaron has to go. I have resisted saying that on the air for months, maybe for seasons. De'Aaron's time as a Sacramento King is done. You can clip this. You can share it. You can tag all of the people that defend him on social media. I really don't care. I do not say this lightly. He has no heart. This whole fourth quarter Fox shit is such a charade because his ass lays out the first three quarters. How many star players do you question whether he gives a shit about the game he's playing in? And that press conference last night, bruh. It ain't going to make nobody feel any better. No, tell us what happened. Own up to the fact you fucked up. Do that. Own up to the fact you screwed up the final play. Own up to the fact you was out there daydreaming. Own up to it. Ain't nobody trying to feel better. We want to hear you take accountability. Fucking acknowledge it. He couldn't do it. Oh, it's not going to make anybody feel better. Oh, that's just De'Aaron being De'Aaron. Okay. All right, since we blowing this whole thing up, since we holding the only coach that has been successful in the last two decades accountable for this, let's hold the star player accountable for this.
Yep.
Yeah. And that, and the worst part about all of this is how they ended up firing Brown. They call him while he was about to get on the airplane or on the way.
Can you be any more of a douche?
Yeah. And then Malone over Michael Malone from the Nuggets. Right? Yeah. Oh, you have that pulled up?
I do.
Calls him classless because he had a similar situation. I believe he got fired via an email or something like that. I didn't.
All right.
if you want to correct
absolutely.
Me.
Okay. So out of the 12 head coaches that have been fired, 11, I guess. Doug Christie is the interim head coach. He is going to be there until the end of the year. God bless him. Hopefully they get to the playoffs and he'll get a really small 4 or 5 year deal, I'm sure. So coaches around the league are reacting. News media is reacting. And a lot of them are just dumbfounded. But, of course, Mike Malone being one of the fired from Vivek, the owner, and he sums it up probably the best. Here we go. Here's the quote. Awful. Yes, awful. And the reason I say that is we were going into a meeting this afternoon, and the good thing about me is that, honestly, I'm not on social media. I'm not aware of what's going on outside these walls sometimes. I've had an office with no windows for 10 years. God damn. It's probably taken 6 years off of my life. And I go into the meeting and the coaches say, did you hear what happened to Mike Brown? And I say, what happened? And they tell me he got fired. And at first I was really shocked and surprised. And then I caught myself and said, why am I shocked? Why am I surprised? For two reasons. One, because as an NBA head coach, ultimately you're going to get blamed. When they win, it's going to go to Sabonis and Fox. When they lose, it's going to be on Mike Brown. That's the way it works. And two, think of who he works for. So I'm not surprised that Mike Brown got fired because I got fired by the same person. And what really pissed me off about it was that they lost last night, fifth game in a row, I believe, tough loss, fouling a jump shooter. They have practice this morning. He does his post-practice media conference and he's in his car going to the airport to fly to LA for the game. And they call him on his phone. No class, no balls. That's what I'll say about that. End quote.
Yeah. That's just... It's embarrassing to... It has to be embarrassing to be that organization. There's no way the owner and the GM are looking at themselves and they're like, yeah, like we're a winning team. We're in contention. Like we can compete with at least the California teams and the LA Clippers and the LA Lakers.
Yeah, well, until Vivek learns what stability means, this is going to continue.
Yeah.
And you have some tweets going on. Here's Dan saying, Bush League move by Vivek and the Kangs. Did they get advice on how to fire a coach from the Chicago Bears? This team really wants to make it hard to like them. Matt George, another reporter from Sacramento, he said Mike Brown has repeatedly pointed out the amount of times the Sacramento Kings shot themselves in the foot and lost games this season because of self-inflicted wounds. It's poetic that by firing and blaming Brown, the Kings are again shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like they just keep doing this, and it's almost like the situation with like the Cleveland Browns switching quarterbacks all the damn time.
Oh, dude, that's a whole, you know, again, that's another planet. And we are not going there.
No, but I'm saying, like, look at the product that they have, you know, and the one time that they had a consistent quarterback with, like, Baker,
yep,
they did pretty well. Mm-hmm. And
he got them their first playoff win in a decade.
Yeah, exactly.
And they shipped him off into the sun because Deshaun Watson was a better guy.
Exactly. And look how that's going. But then you look at Sacramento and you look at the last 2 years where they have been in the conversation.
Yep.
They're even attracting players like DeRozan.
DeRozan was there because of what happened the last 2 years.
They're actually gaining traction and they're bringing in players that are worth a damn to a certain extent. No shade towards the ones that are getting signed in free agency and stuff, but it's just, you know, you gain this traction, you start grabbing this attention, and everybody, including other NBA players, are looking at you and thinking that there is a future there. And then you throw away the one guy that has brought you that.
Exactly. Even if they finish this year with 38 wins or 39 wins, okay? I don't even know what the math is on that. So that would be 38 and 44? I believe. right? I need a calculator. God damn it.
Yeah, I got you.
82 minus 38.
Yeah, so it'd be 44. 38.
38 and 44.
Yeah.
So he would have been 140 wins in 3 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Plus the 4 wins in the postseason. So he had 144 wins in 3 years. The most this team has seen out of a head coach in decades.
Yeah.
As Damian Barling was saying. And this is your best idea. This is your plan. Like, where do we go from here? We go to Doug Christie, the J.J. Redick of Sacramento?
Yeah, obviously you have to pick like an assistant coach. Like,
I would have picked Jay Triano or Luke Locks,
exactly.
Actual
like,
coaches.
You could pick anybody else. And I wonder what goes through their head half the time. And you know, that's such the hard part is because like I don't classify myself as a Kings fan. I know a decent amount because of you. You know what I mean? And I do follow basketball to a certain extent, but it's so irritating to like want to buy into basketball like I have been this past year. And then I look at the team that's like, okay, let's look at a local team. I'm like, I'd rather be a fan of the 76ers who have barely broken 500.
Well, look.
Granted, they beat the Celtics a couple days ago.
So
everybody knows.
When you have about 50, 55 games left in the season, depending on what team it is, unless you're the Pelicans at 5-30 or whatever the fuck it is, you still can move into position. You still have a shot.
Yeah, there's,
you're a good 4-5-6 game winning streak from getting right back into this conversation.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make any sense whatsoever to be like, oh my God, we might lose again and again and again. Have some faith in the very man that gave you the position that you're in.
Yeah. This isn't football where, like,
you know,
if you only have 4 or 5 wins, like, you're pretty much out of the conversation. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You have a longer season.
Whether they win or lose tomorrow, there's 50 games left for them on the schedule.
And if they win tomorrow, it's everybody's going to be like, yeah, maybe Brown was the problem.
Yeah, and Doug Christie is the rah-rah man that's going to solve this.
Yeah. And then De'Aaron Fox is going to show up for that game
he'll
be like, I back Doug's.
Yeah, well, everybody. Yeah. Well, Doug is a very social guy. Everybody likes the dude.
Oh yeah,
he was a very, very well respected player.
Yeah,
his broadcast career.
You can get
through the ads.
I'm not saying that was great, but because De'Aaron obviously didn't back Brown's vision, or at least not this year. So what if he performs, he'd be like, yeah, like I'm all for Doug. And then next thing you know, there's an extension in
dude,
the future.
He's dropped 60 points in the game and lost. So I don't even. It's not like. Let's just, it happened. I'm pissed off about it. I don't know if you are, but I'm very irritated with it. I'm tired of seeing this as a fan. I'm tired of seeing this organization just basically shit themselves on every 2 or 3 years on a regular basis. I'm tired of them drafting players and moving them off players that could be helpful.
Yeah.
Like Davion Mitchell, a very good on ball defender. Yeah, I get it. He's 6 feet tall. But he is as strong as an ox, and he can defend. I've seen it. He's also a defensive player of the year in college. This dude can play. And you shed the salary and ship his ass to Toronto to bring in DeRozan because you thought Harrison Barnes was the problem.
Yeah.
Harrison Barnes is averaging 16 points a game in San Antonio, playing very well. I just didn't see the reason for shedding salary to bring in a guy on an increased salary that's slightly older when you have a defender like this, and then you draft Devin Carter. You would have had 3 on-ball defenders if you can't count Keon Ellis.
But that goes
defense
into...
is your problem.
Exactly. But then that goes into what we saw about that podcast you showed me yesterday.
Gilbert Arenas' podcast.
So it goes into that where the pace of the game is controlling momentum and big plays. So they'd rather have all these shooters and not have, you know, maybe like one defender out there, maybe one glass cleaner out there, but everybody else can shoot or try to. Obviously, we're not going to break into what you guys can go watch his and that hilarious rant on the 3 points.
It's a link that might go in the show notes of our special here.
It
is a 25-minute unbelievable breakdown of the analytics of basketball from the 3-point line, and it makes a lot of sense. And it's a something that nobody in the NBA is looking at.
Yeah.
And I think it's killing the way the thought process in the, of these coaches and in the front office. It's like, okay, one of the examples that he gave was you're shooting 50 something threes. That's 150 points that you are trying to get, but you're only clearing 30 or 40 points out of it.
Yeah.
It is not, it does not seem sustainable. And that's the one thing that I've always bothered me too, is when you have a direct line to the basket where it's a 75, 80% chance of making it, and you kick it to a corner where the guy only shoots 35%.
Yeah.
So you're giving a 70% fail rate in that decision. And you watch a lot of clips in the NBA, and it's a lot of chucking, bouncing off the rim, trying to get the ball. They kick it back out for no fucking reason. Just dunk it and call it. And at some point, it's going to shift back. But right now, it's all about chucking from three.
I don't understand it. And this is coming from, like, I'm baseball, football, and a little bit of hockey, but mainly baseball, football. And we have seen that shift happen across all sports. Football went from running all the time to throwing, you know, and now they want these home run passes. They want these like 70, 80 yard bombs if you could throw it that far. And then baseball turns into launch angle. They want all home runs. It used to be not even 10, 15 years ago. It was small ball. It was gap hits, bunts, stuff like that. And it was the same thing with basketball. Not even 10, 15 years ago, it was driving it into the paint. And if you had that one or two shooters, like actual shooters, because now they're all shooters.
Yeah, they're all shooters now.
And again, covered in the other podcast. It's just like, it's annoying to see that, you know, not everybody's Stephen Curry.
All right. No, they all want to be.
But they all want to be. They all want to ride that wave. And it's like, not everybody is that guy. And it's so frustrating that you have dudes trying to shoot, you know, from the field that don't belong, you know, in that space or in that conversation.
So to kind of put a, to kind of cap this off here, the Kings are broken. You're the GM. Doug Christie's your guy, right? How do you fix the Sacramento Kings? How do you solve this problem in a sustainable way?
You need to find someone with a pair of balls that is willing to back a coach, whether it be Doug Christie, and back their ideas and back their game plan.
But that comes from ownership, and Vivek is not that guy. He's proven that.
Then they need to fucking figure it out. Like, you know what I mean? It's the only way I could see them fixing it is that they back the people that they hire. You can't extend somebody for $30 million for 3 years, so about $10 million a year.
Yeah.
You can't extend somebody and then fire them the next year because...
Not even 6 months in.
Yeah, because, you know, people are complaining about how they blew a 20-point lead against Detroit. Obviously, there's pre-existing issues, but that was the final blow, so that's what we're gonna, I'm going to say. You can't sit there and fold over and over and over again like you have 11 times mm-hmm. when... Like you need to, again, you need to grow a pair and back them and maybe even look at the players as the issue. Because it 9 times out of 10, maybe 8 times out of 10. So 80% of the time, it is the player's problem.
Absolutely.
It is not the coaches all have a philosophy. Now, there's some horrible play callers out there. There's some horrible time managers or game managers. That happens. But
right.
In a game of basketball where five people have actual control, like, you got to look at the players.
Of both ends.
Yeah.
And defense, offense, yeah.
Exactly. And the only way I could say that they could fix it is if they just, I don't know, open their eyes a little bit more. Like, maybe their star player of 8 years with zero accolades is the problem.
Here's the thing that happens in the NFL, and it should always happen in the NBA. When a GM comes in, 9 times out of 10, he's cleaning the house.
Yeah.
He does not keep a single draft pick from the previous guy.
Yeah.
He does not hold any attachments to anything. When Monty came in, De'Aaron Fox should have been on the bus.
Yeah.
Same thing with, I mean, God bless him, but Harrison Barnes as well. You can't flip the whole roster and keep De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah. Again, because it goes into that buying, the buying in part.
Yeah. Because now you got a guy that has seen multiple coaches, and he's got an owner that backs him, essentially. And you're just going to start butting heads.
Yeah.
And here we are, 2.5 years later, they're butting heads.
Yeah.
Because De'Aaron feels like, again, this is obviously our opinions. I don't know what's going on in that fucking dumbass's head. But it feels to me, it seems to me, it feels like De'Aaron Fox is wanting something that the organization isn't willing to give. Because Vivek is not spending money. He's not that guy. So he's like, comes in with his brand new agent, and he says, I think we should do X, Y, and Z, and I think we need to have a philosophy over here. What's your thoughts? And Vivek is the guy that's going, I'm not going into the second apron. I'm not going to pay the luxury tax. I'm not spending money on another guy. Make it work. And then he finds out it's not really coming together because it's not, he doesn't have a shot blocker, he doesn't have all the various things because they kept thinning out their bench to pay Sabonis, pay DeRozan, pay, you know. So there's nobody coming off the bench to save him now. And it's just, you get that deterioration.
Yeah.
I think Monty's first job should have been, you hire Mike Brown, done. Second job, De'Aaron Fox, you get rid of him for assets. You absolutely get rid of him. Now, was he instrumental in bringing in Malik Monk? Sure. I'm sure De'Aaron Fox was because they were college buddies. But that move may not give you Malik Monk, but what it does give you is multiple first-round picks. You might have gotten a couple of average players to get by. You still trade Halliburton, or maybe you keep Halliburton as your point.
Because and he was fairly new.
And he was fairly new, yeah. But you now you have a point guard that doesn't that is your guy.
Yeah.
You bring in Mitchell as the backup, is what you did a year later. And now you've got a guard combo of a defensive, offensive type of thing. Obviously, you drafted Devin Carter, so now you got a third guy. You traded for Kevin Huerter. You got him for nothing, basically. And there's your shooting guard that can shoot. I mean, if 38-40% is your you know, benchmark in the NBA for three-pointing, I guess he's a shooter. I think that would have been a less stressful way of doing it, and Mike Brown could have gotten a lot more out of that roster, and they probably would have won their, you know, 40-45 games in the first year. In the second year, they probably would have been able to get another guy out of free agency or something different. By yeah. keeping Fox and paying him $30 million a year, you strap your franchise. And it's a guy that is not playing 48 minutes of basketball. He never does. And he's got a track record of that. That's what I'm thinking should have happened. But it didn't, so here we are. How do you fix what is going on now? If Doug Christie is your guy, he is a defensive player, always has been, not much of an offensive guy in his playing days. So I'm thinking he's probably going to take over that defense.
Yeah.
And he's going to give Luke Lox and Triano the offensive side of things. That's what I'm thinking is going to happen as far as on the court. In terms of the players, if I'm Monty, Fox is still going. He has to go.
It's so weird to, like, normally when a GM or a head coach comes into a new, like, they're new to the organization, there's always some type of house cleaning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whether it's in the office or it's on the field, court, whatever you want to say. And especially in a sport like basketball, where the backups are just as important as the starters. Because, like, in football, baseball, all that stuff, like, there's backups, but you don't, you know what I mean? You don't rely on them yeah. as much compared to like their sixth and seventh man in basketball. And he takes over, dumps all the money into guys that he probably should have gotten rid of, no matter how much you may like them or how good they're doing. Like, just, right. you know, refresh. Because in my mind, if I was a fan of the Kings and I saw that they got a new GM, I'm like, okay, it's rebuild. Like, I'm expecting the next couple of seasons to be rocky. Because they're getting new players,
yeah.
you know, younger players. A lot of them are maybe even rookies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of just, it's surprising how they run things. And that I'm realizing that the more I get into basketball, it's not even close to the same sports as what most of us are used to.
No, this is a very much a player-driven league. And it's very it's very sickening.
Yeah.
And a lot of times you hear, you know, how the organization don't care about us, so we do what we can to get what's ours or all that dumb shit. And it's like, why should they care about you when you act this way?
Yeah.
You know, why should they care? Like, why should they care about, like, Anthony Edwards is in Minnesota right now talking. He's been fined several times for his language, for the way he talks about the officiating. He's taken a couple of quasi swings at Julius Randle for the way he plays. You aren't in the league long enough. I don't feel like he's built enough of a reputation in Minnesota to warrant some of that. And if I'm an organization, I'm already smelling a problem down the road. Because if he's going to do this now with this situation, if it gets really hard, like 10-game losing streak type shit, how much am I going to have to listen to this dude?
Yeah.
You know, and how much is he going to become a locker room issue? And that's something a lot of these, I don't know, dude, I'm just going to keep going on this rabbit hole. I just feel like the organization in basketball, these guys really need to grow a pair and really drop the hammer on some of these guys and be like, for $30 million, you better go out there and make those shots.
Exactly. They need to, these organizations need to back their coaching. And I'm not saying all NBA teams don't do this. Again, San Antonio. But there needs to be that combo where, like, if there's a player bitching and moaning about a head coach supposedly not doing a good enough job when he already has two winning records and a playoff appearance with you, maybe, like, they just toss him. You know,
I would have benched him.
Yeah.
You don't get on a podcast and tell me how to do my job.
Yeah.
I know you're doing it in a nice way, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go out and say you need to step up.
And athletes are all athletes are very good at saying stuff without saying stuff. Yeah, it on the media. They are professionals at doing that because it's so easy for them to be like, no, I didn't say that, but everybody's like, but that's what you meant.
It's exactly
you
what you said.
What I mean? Yeah.
It's like, you can't sit there and say that, and then I tell you to step up, and then you go out there, and you don't take your first shot till the three-minute mark of the first quarter.
Yeah.
You don't stop anybody on two possessions in the first half.
Yeah. When you could argue that he was doing that out of spite and he just wanted to be like an asshole.
Yeah, he could.
He's like, oh, you wanted to talk shit, so I'm just not going to play.
Exactly. So what happens the next game? The next Laker game, you're on the bench. You don't play. Yeah. I don't give a fuck how much you're worth.
And what sucks is that, let's say they went to the Lakers and let's say he went that route, Brown went that route, and, you know, still coaching and everything, and he benched Fox, he would have been fired.
Oh, they would have fired him, but at some point, you got to... I felt like Mike Brown was standing up for himself after a little bit of this bullshit.
Oh, yeah. And I bet you he knew that his job was... Like, I think he started letting loose a little bit more because he knew his job was kind of...
Oh, yeah. That seat got warm because Vivek is very impatient.
Yeah. Yeah. And he knows that Vivek opens up more to De'Aaron Fox anyways. There's literally a player-owner connection that he may not have.
Exactly.
Obviously, who the fuck wants
that job now?
Yeah.
I mean, Christy will take it because he's never had one, but
yeah, exactly. That's
the
other thing.
Fuck is going to take
that
job?
The only people that are going to take that job, and we see it a lot with the NFL, are guys who have never had head coaching experience.
Yeah.
And then you're going to do dog shit because, again, these guys got to learn somehow.
Yeah, they got to learn a new system again.
Exactly.
Yep.
So they're going to do dog shit because the players have to learn a new system. The head coach arguably was never a head coach, so he needs to learn how to do stuff, you know? And so it's like, and then the ownership is going to get mad again. And it's like,
because that's your problem. Because the talent isn't picking it up fast enough, as they say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's going to want that job now?
Especially when that contract, I know we keep going, but like that contract was guaranteed. It was a $30 million guaranteed contract for 3 years. You've had two successful years already prior to that extension.
He's in the last year of this contract.
Yeah.
Then the extension
starts. Oh, yeah. So even better. So now you have to pay this guy to sit on his... You have to pay this guy to arguably either sit on his couch, which he won't do. He'll go to another team.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll have to pay him to play you.
His ass will be on ESPN this year.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's just like, how do you not look at it financially and be like, well, he's already giving us two winning seasons and a playoff appearance, and he got us in the play-in, and
yep.
Next thing, we extend him. Let's just ride it out.
I would not have fired him. I wouldn't pay him to stay home.
No. I mean, obviously, this whole episode is about not firing him. But it's just that I just don't understand the mindset where it's like financially, you're about to commit to another head coach while you're paying the other head coach for literally doing his job. It's not like he sat there and called De'Aaron Fox dog shit. They had their gripes and moans to the media, which you should probably sit both of them down and be like, stop acting like children, or let them do their thing.
There's no... I want to pull all my hair out. Because it's as a fan, it's like Groundhog's Day. It's like every 2.5 years, it's Groundhog's Day. It's like, Luke Walton was 31 wins, and he got like 15 wins in or something like that, and then they fired him.
It's like, always on like a negative slope.
Yeah,
it's always like some type of losing streak or a blown game.
Yeah, I just sit there and I go, okay, what was wrong? What was wrong with Luke Walton? Hold on, let's back up. What was wrong with Dave Yeager? Not a damn thing.
Yeah,
you know, he was. This was a slower build up, but each year they had him winning improvement. And the final year of his contract, they won 39 games. They could have won 40. I get it, but he won 39 games. And every year they slightly improved in some area on the court with the rosters that he was given by Vlade Divac. And when I think about this, if he had stayed another contract, would this team had been better? You know, like, would they have, or I mean, we're never going to know, because for some reason, Vivek felt as an owner, like this team should have been 10 games better or 15 games better. There's always that stupid shit in his mind where it's like, we should be here, but we're not. And it's his fault. And it's like, let the fucker do his job.
Yeah.
Let him do his job. And when you have a coach have instant success, let him do his job.
Yeah.
Let him deal with this roster that you're paying money for. If you want to have a fucking meeting and walk in there as the owner and go, why am I paying you $30 million? To do what? Show up one quarter a game? Why am I paying you $25 million? To miss shots? Why am I paying you $15 million? To not be on the court because your calf always hurts?
Yeah.
Like, dude, you can do that. I mean, but he doesn't want to be seen as the bad guy.
Yeah.
And I hate that kind of owner, man. Fuck, dude. Ugh.
It makes me kind of glad, like, it's a sidetrack.
Just fine. It
makes me kind of glad that he didn't get successful at buying the Oakland A's. Because I know that was like rumors, or like he was interested. I'm kind of glad, because we're already tired of Fisher over there.
Bro,
he would have been
worse. Buddy. He would have gone through managers every 2 years.
Yeah, and it's so sad. I know now we're going back to basketball, but it's so sad. So many people show up for the Kings. That arena is almost always packed.
Exactly,
almost always. They can do dog shit.
It's the only, you know? And I think that's the problem, because it's the only show in town.
Yeah, and. It just sucks that, like, these fans are either loyal or they just want to see a game. It could be both.
Could be both.
But majority are loyal. I've never really met Kings fan. Like, it's hard to find a Kings fan that's not loyal, because, like, look at what you're going through. Like, looking at Raiders fans.
Fuck. Well, no. Don't compare. Do not compare that, please.
And, all right, you know what? Better is honestly the A's, because the A's and the Kings on their own respective sports are kind of the same. They both have these potentials, and the ownership just sucks. But it's just like, these fans are willing to show up and they want to watch a game, whether they win or lose. They pack that arena, that really nice arena that was built like not even 5-6 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and you keep kicking them down to pleasure the guys on the court, you know, and or you're trying to please the audience and fire guys that the audience is demanding.
The fans are getting what they wanted.
Yeah.
They're just,
well, some I honestly feel like this is a genuine, like, 50-50. Like, some guys really did want him gone, and other guys are like,
well, now look at everybody. Oh, I want him gone, but not like that.
Yeah.
Like,
what do you mean?
How else do you fire a guy?
Yeah. And obviously, like, sports are going to be, like, sports fans are always, your own team, like, Kings fans are going to be the biggest critics of the Kings. Chiefs fans, biggest critics of the Chiefs, Eagles, biggest critics of the Eagles. We will always shit on our own teams harder than anybody else.
Because it's just the rules.
Yeah. Like, and you know the potential of your team. But to turn around and demand somebody's job, and then the job is given up, and you're like, ah, fuck, I didn't really want that.
I didn't want them to call him on the way to the airport. Like, you know what's crazier about that shit? As I just burp, I apologize, kids. What's crazier about that shit is in sports, it's very hard to get them in the office.
Yeah.
You know? They're always on an airplane, or they're always in a different city, or they're always... I don't know how else you fire a guy. And I mean, you're going to have to call him.
Yeah.
You know?
It sounds really classless. However... It's shittier in his situation because he just got done with practice and he was heading over to the airport. You could have did it
before
while
practice,
he was in the building before or after practice.
I agree. That,
before the media conference, for sure.
Yes.
You should not have fired him after on the way to the airport.
Yes.
Like, there was a much easier... Malone is a different situation. But,
yeah, but that was years ago.
Yeah.
He was fired, I believe it was an email.
Yeah, I'm almost positive it was an email, but he also was, like, doing other shit. I don't think he was actively in the building like Brown was.
No, he was coaching.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. But I mean, like, he may have been out of town or whatever.
It was
Brown was
I believe
there.
He was fired on a road trip.
Yeah.
Like, he was not in
so, like,
Sacramento.
You kind of, that like, the owner's not traveling everywhere with you. I kind of understand that one. You know, but to, the guy was literally there like 40 minutes
again,
ago.
Yeah, because this is the fucking thing. They're on a homestand. That runs from the second week of December all the way to the second week of January. They're basically in California. They have a couple flights like L.A., Golden State, but it's basically California. So after every home game, they're in Sacramento.
Yeah.
The next day is a practice. They could have called him that morning before practice. They could have said, hey, you know what? We thought about it last night. We had a little board meeting. We want to talk to you about blah, blah, blah. And then that's it. We're good.
Yeah.
And then that practice could have been done by the interim coach. And then that guy could have
had the
presser.
Which is probably the best thing to do because you would want a coach led by, or you would want a practice led by the coach that's going to take over the game.
Yeah.
And you would probably want a media conference with the new face of the Kings for the rest of the season.
I mean,
obviously they're going to get that with the Lakers, but.
But the problem I have with it, the one problem I have with it is if your coach is instituting a game plan and then that coach gets fired. Your assistant is now the guy. He doesn't have a game plan. He's just using that game plan anyway.
Exactly.
It doesn't make sense. I mean,
and the likelihood, and if they win that game, you could argue that it's probably because of a game plan that was already drawn up by the now fired head coach.
Yeah. And now and then they're going to fly back home and get ready for Dallas, I think, or some shit.
So really, we shouldn't even count the Lakers. If they win, it may not be because of Doug.
Well, let's see. If Doug mismanages his timeouts, what are we going to see? Same shit.
No, I bet you this is what's going to happen. Their fans will be like, he's never done it before.
Yeah.
They're going to make excuses. Yeah. And then the players will be like, it's because it's a power shift. Like, we're changing things up and
giving them grace.
Yeah. But give it like 5-6 games when he's expected to figure it out. And then maybe he'll start catching some slander.
Let me ask you a question. Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors opened up the season 12-3. They are now 15-14. So they've won 3 games or 3 and whatever it is to get to 14. So they have lost a lot. They've had multiple lineup changes, multiple bench changes, all this shit, and they still are 15-14, I believe. If he had been in Sacramento with that, Steve Kerr would have been fired, no matter how many rings he's got.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, okay. So I don't think it matters.
Again, I think it's
just
ownership
him.
Mentality.
It's just him. I don't think it matters who the fuck it was.
Warriors' ownership backs Steve Kerr, and they know that there's rings to come, or there has been rings.
Yeah.
Sacramento does not back their head coaches. They passed 11 of them, clearly.
George Karl said, same old, same old.
Yeah. DeMarcus Cousins even commented saying it's not Mike's fault.
It's not the coach.
Yeah, it's
not
his
the coach.
Problem.
He's pointing directly at ownership, directly at the players.
Yeah.
And what I hate the most is when players sit there and go, oh, yeah, we got to do better. We got blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, again, let's take the last game. It doesn't matter who the coach is. You could it could be Joey, whatever. Take that to the side. You're up three. 3 seconds left. The other team has the ball. You have to protect a three-point lead. The worst you get out of that is an overtime game.
Yeah.
If you let him, if he makes the three. So if you have a, if you are marginally intelligent, you would know time and score. You would know 3 seconds, up three. They have the ball. I should not be fouling anybody.
Yeah.
Especially when they're all going to camp out on the perimeter. I should not be giving them an extra shot. Let them take their three-pointer. If they make it, we got 5 minutes to fix it. If they miss it, we win the game. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
But yet you're going to not do that, and then the coach is going to call you out on it, and then you're going to go bitch, and then he's going to get fired? Because you didn't use your fucking brain cells?
Yeah.
I hate that shit. I don't know. I'm just... Anyway, guys...
It's a way to end a good rant.
That's how you end it. We apologize for the snafus. Like, share, subscribe if you enjoyed it. We will fix it later.
See ya.
I want to break your soul into